G4, number 1B.
At that time when she wrote that article, she could see that the new paradigm was divine science, which involved what? What kind of consciousness? She said, this is the view that God is too pure to behold evil, that God has no consciousness of anything unlike himself, and that therefore God knows no sin, sickness, and death. That was her view of divine science, which was naturally absolutely in contrast to the theological concept of her age, not only of the various churches, but the whole age. How should God not know sin, sickness, and death when one is imploring God to heal sin, sickness, and death? That was quite inconceivable. Well, she would also see that in divine science, God does not know matter, error, but God does not know either people, because the mortal is not the image and likeness of God, and you can see that this provoked horror at that time. How could somebody come along and say that God does not know sin, sickness, death, evil, matter, people? This was too much. And therefore, she met with great resistance, she says, with doubt and questioning, and it aroused horror. What did she do? She advised the students to leave the subject untouched and to defer the inquiry, because she saw that it is too early for the Christian scientists and for the age really to accept this new paradigm. Therefore, she felt it was much wiser to leave it for the moment and wait until general thought, universal thought, would change. But then, if she had to leave the subject untouched, what then should she teach? And so she said, all right, I translate that divine science to the level of Christian science, to the level of what she called in that article the science of physical harmony. And so she taught the science of physical harmony. What does that imply? That implies a much narrower, lower frame of consciousness, namely that consciousness which people could somehow accept, namely that God is our helper, that he is a very present help in trouble, that God is our salvation, that God pities us, has mercy on us, guides every event of our career. So you can see this is a completely different frame of consciousness, which we really can say this is not a true theory, because how can God be a helper? How can God help in trouble? Is there trouble? Is there discord? Does God actually see trouble? Does trouble exist in being? Is that the fact to take into account as if it would exist? Can you see? She had to translate divine science right down to the science of physical harmony, to that level where she could try to explain the relationship between truth and error. Though error does not exist, though error is not the reality. But that was the most that the students could understand. And so she said, and this is interesting to see in order to show that every paradigm shift brings up a sort of crisis, brings up a sort of chemicalization. So she said, the science of physical harmony is radical enough to promote as forcible collisions of thought as the age has strength to bear. See, it brought collision of thought. She says, even the thinkers are not prepared to answer intelligently leading questions about God and sin. Namely, her standpoint that God does not know sin, sickness, and death. Says, even the best thinkers are in trouble. They cannot intelligently conceal that God does not know sin. She says, the world is far from ready to assimilate the verity of God's blindness to error and ignorance of sin. Again, she says, the world is far from ready. They can't comprehend in no way that God is blind, really, towards error and ignorance and sin. What kind of a God must that be that is not taking care of the mortal? That they couldn't understand. So, here again, you see, if we look quickly back what I said about Galilei, that he had certainly been able to bring the whole concept of the stellar universe into laws, into calculations, but those laws were Galilei's laws. Those laws did not exist and never existed in reality, because the stars don't know any law, so they cannot act according to a law. But the beauty of man-conceived science is that we can bring somehow some kind of an order into that universe so that we can understand that universe better. Now, if we take that over to this attitude at that point in 1886, we can say, well, the demand that the people made to Mrs. Eddy to translate real reality to the point of the science of physical harmony and show how truth is taking care of error is actually not a reality. This is just a frame of reference that the people wanted and could understand. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy had to find a grid of laws or a system that would explain, at least at that point, at that crude point, how reality works. But these statements that God pities us is not true. That is only true from man's point of view. From God's point of view, it's not true that God heals sin, sickness, and death is not true. It does not exist in reality. But it's necessary for us, for our standpoint, to understand something about reality and about the spiritual mechanism of reality. So can you see that from time to time we accept a paradigm that is not true? But it's a paradigm that works for the time being. And the only thing that we have to be careful is that we don't stagnate and don't move again, so that we are not ready for a paradigm shift. And this is what is necessary, that constant development towards the final goal of divine science. And therefore we must be made ready, really, for the time when such a paradigm shift comes upon us and that we accept it. That's why Mrs. Eddy said then, after she had made these remarks, which I have been reading to you, she said that the platoons of Christian Science must first be thoroughly drilled in the planar manual of their spiritual armament. She could see it's too early for people to understand what really divine science is. Therefore, I give them the science of physical harmony, which we would say Christian Science, showing how to heal sin, sickness, and death. But then the platoons, those real good troops, those who are really doing the job, who are well-trained to do a job, they must first be thoroughly drilled. Drilled, 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 drilled. In what? in the planar manual, in the planar manual of spiritual armament, we have a manual, and that manual is a manual of spiritual armament. So that, she said, but it takes about 50 years until the time will be ready for us to accept the higher sense, the science of spiritual harmony, divine science. Now, as she has made that statement in 1886 and has calculated that it takes about 50 years for the science of spiritual harmony to come into the forefront, into the front line for the platoons, it actually happened that way. It was just about 50 years afterwards, round about 1936-37, that John Dorley for the first time began to present the science of spiritual harmony. And you know that. You know that through your classes that you have taken with us, going through the educational program, where we have introduced you really to that spiritual manual. What was happening at the time when she was saying that in another 50 years the signs of spiritual harmony would be seen? She said, his name will be magnified in the apprehension of this new subject. The new subject will be apprehended. What subject? Name is a subject that she says the infinite recognizes no sin, disease, and death. That the infinite does not recognize matter, error, people, mortals. And that she says a realization of God as all would dispel even the sense or consciousness of sin. So what she is saying is this, that the new subject that was introduced with Mr. Dorley, who was introducing us into the definition of God, and said we have to learn and understand each of the seven synonymous terms. We show you how you learn them through the ideas characterizing mind, the ideas characterizing spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. In that way your consciousness is cultured and trained and drilled into a consciousness which only knows the synonymous term and the characterizing idea, the characteristic ideas of those synonymous terms. So that consciousness which goes out from the synonymous terms and only knows the ideas of God, the ideas of the synonymous term, certainly has no consciousness of sin, sickness, and death. It's just a matter of how well we drill our consciousness and culture our consciousness in that standpoint. So that from that standpoint, naturally we can see that we have no consciousness of a fallen man, of a sinful man, of a material man, of man that is anything else but idea. With introducing this new subject 50 years after that article, in the middle of the 1930s, Mr. Dorley naturally also introduced us into the power of ideas. If the whole is nothing else but principle and idea as one, principle always operating only as ideas, never as people, never as bodies, never as matter, then with that concept we also get the concept of the Christ idea, which shows that if we go out from the synonymous term and understand being through the ideas of the synonymous term, then we also see that these ideas are the only thing at work, that they are self-operative, that they are self-regulating, that they are self-excluding error, that they do the job, that it is actually the Christ consciousness within us that is the governing power and the ruling power and the directing power and the organizing power, and that therefore God is living us. That therefore God is demonstrating us. And that gave a complete paradigm shift in our whole outlook to our lives, namely that we were no more asking, how do I live God or divine ideas? How do I demonstrate God or how do I demonstrate ideas? That was a human standpoint where I demonstrate ideas, where I demonstrate God. And so the whole paradigm shift was being fulfilled where we began to see our consciousness and the practice that we entertain within ourselves is going out from God, from the synonymous term, and does only contemplate its own ideas and give to those ideas the Christ office of doing the job as a savior. All right. But if we read in that towards the end of that article, Caution in the Truth, we read something else, which shows even further than that. And it seems as if there would be another 50 years necessary in order to attain a new paradigm shift. Because when she explained this new era that would come in round about 1936 and so, she also said that this brings out the highest phenomena of the all mind. So suddenly it brings out the phenomena of mind itself, of the capitalized term mind itself. And we know that she speaks about her discovery and said, well, she made a new discovery, namely the discovery that matter is naught and that mind is all, and that there is only one science, the mind science. Now, this seems to be a simple statement, but when you look at it from the point of view of paradigm shift, you see something very important. We see then, in regard to the fundamental question that every Christian scientist has, the question of understanding and demonstration, a terrific paradigm shift coming on us. So I deviate quickly and look back again to our whole history of the last 100 years and in regard to that question of understanding and demonstration, which is always quite central to the Christian scientist. If look back to that year of 1837, to that theological era where Mrs. Eddy had the first trouble with the Last Judgment and the doctrine of eternal damnation, one could see in that old period that the dogma was that disease is sent from God, that we have to accept disease as God's penalty, and we better say yes to our destiny and to what we experience, that sickness is just a way of God chastising us and bringing suffering as a way of bringing us back to God. But then when Christian Science came and Mrs. Eddy introduced the science of physical harmony, namely the question of mind over matter, of mind capital M over matter, as a science of physical harmony, what she was teaching as understanding was the constant replacing of illusions, and instead of illusions, having ideas. Or even less, instead of having negative thoughts, to have positive thoughts. To deny error and to affirm truth. That was the understanding that was asked there, and what was demonstrated in that way, that the truth was overcoming error, and that resulted in healing the sick. This was the practice for a long time, or we could even say practically up today. But in the general discovery of Christian Science, we can easily see that with the advent of the new era of the science of spiritual science, of spiritual harmony, we can see that then, when John Dolly began to teach us that we have to understand the synonymous term, that we have to understand the synonymous term through the ideas characterizing these synonymous terms, that then this was the kind of understanding. It was no more positive thinking, good thinking, lovely thoughts, and so on, but it was really a scientific understanding of the synonymous term and their ideas. What was the demonstration of that level of understanding? The demonstration of that understanding was that from that point on, the demonstration was to demonstrate spiritual ideas, and therefore not truth over error, but the truth calculating only with ideas. And therefore this resulted in the demonstration of a preventive practice, so that the demonstration was that man was unable to sin, to get sick and to die, to have loss and lack. So that the demonstration was demonstrating ideas as a calculus of ideas, therefore as a preventive practice. But then, when we look further, and when we remind ourselves now of that sentence where Mrs. Eddy had said that it will bring out the highest phenomena of the all mind, we see that the demonstration must even be higher than that, but just a preventive practice, just calculating always right. That must come another paradigm shift, that our demonstration must be of a much higher order than that. And so we can see that actually this is coming to happen. You know that since about 2 or 3 years we begin to talk about that higher sense of understanding, but also the higher sense of demonstration. What is the higher sense that we could see of understanding? We said, in the measure as we begin to get the tonality of each synonymous term, we are no more dependent on single ideas. On the ideas of the synonymous term, we are no more so much interested in demonstrating ideas, in the calculus of ideas. We are then demonstrating really the whole tonality of the 7 synonymous terms, because they combine all the ideas. Therefore, the understanding of today is that through the tonality, we begin to calculate not ideas, but synonymous terms, as you have it, so to say, through the 3 great categories of capitalized terms. So our understanding is of a higher nature, of the nature of the capitalized term. What is the demonstration of that? The demonstration of that is of a higher nature than to demonstrate just ideas. It's demonstration, the demonstration of the higher phenomena of the all mind. What does that mean? That means something terrific. It means that the demonstration that we are interested in is to see always more about the intrinsic nature of that science. And we can easily see that that has really happened over the last 40 years, last 50 years, with John Dolly, that every decade, so to say, again and again and again, we began to see something more about the inner structure of the one being. That is a demonstration that we can see, we can evolve the science itself. We can see in the textbook always more categories. We can see in the textbook what we have seen, suddenly laws, and to define laws. We certainly can see the dimensional ontology that is in the textbook. Suddenly we can see the science of oneness in that textbook. Suddenly we can see the cybernetic law operating in that textbook. All that has come up, the logic, the new logic of it, the infinite logic of it, all this deeper insight into what constitutes really the science of being, that is our demonstration. That is not just highfalutin thinking. This is the real demonstration. And if we can't make that demonstration, then Christian Science stalls and has its end. Christian Science can only live if that textbook constantly yields higher and higher concept of what constitutes the science of being. And we have to be ready for that paradigm shift. That's our future. For that we have to prepare ourselves. For that we have to be ready and not to resist it. As usually, there is always a resistance whenever a new paradigm shift is upon us. So it is the period of the capitalized term, those terms that are always the whole, and therefore demand of us that we also have that consciousness to think big and not small. Okay, that's it.